All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Exciting daf of Gemara ahead of us today. Our daf today is Chaf Aleph. We are starting on Chaf Amud Beis. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Ayal and Sarah Steinberg in commemoration of the upcoming yahrzeit of Ayal's mother. Elia Daphna Bas Yosef, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. The shir is also dedicated by Meir and Chava Weinheber in honor of Chava's Bubby's first yahrzeit, Rivka Bas Mordechai Alevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. All right, so let's begin. So we began yesterday with an interesting shayla that we kind of ended off in the middle of, which was as follows. What does Tumah do to Kiddush Yadayim V'raglayim? So let's say Kohen sanctifies his hands and feet, then he becomes Tamei. So then the halach, so question is, and now let's say he becomes Tahar again, what does he need to re-sanctify his hands and his feet? So let's pick up four lines up from the bottom. Second to last word on the line, Tashma. So we're trying to prove this from Parah Aduma. Tashma, Parah, Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yosef Amar, Mekadesh Bekli Sharis Befnim. So also remember again, Parah Aduma is unique in that Parah Aduma is effectively done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and what we call Hara Mishcha or Hara Zesim, right opposite Hara Bayis. So what happens? What is the process for the Parah Aduma? So Mekadesh Bekli Sharis Befnim. So first the Kohen sanctifies his hands and his feet with a Kli Sharis inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then he goes out from the Beis HaMikdash to do the avodah of the par. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afila B'chutz, Ba'afila B'klichol. Rabbi Yochanan says he could even go ahead and do his Kiddush Adayim V'raglayim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, again, he does not require a Kli Sharis. He doesn't require a temple service utensil. Va'afila B'mikidah Shalcheres. He could even use an earthenware drinking cup. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan's approach is, he has to sanctify his hands and feet, but it could be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash and doesn't require any particular type of kli. Top of Chaf Aleph, I will say. Vaha, para, ditamuye mitamin ale. I will say, now here's what's interesting about Parah Aduma. By Parah Aduma, this is really fascinating. They would intentionally be mitame the Kohen who was going to do the para. What does this mean? Disnan mitamin hayu akoin hasorif esapara umat bilin oso. We'll say, so they would intentionally be mitame. They would intentionally defile the Kohen who is going to be spurning the Parah Aduma, and then they would go ahead and immerse him in the mikvah. Lohotzi miliban shel tzedukim. All of this in order to disprove the position of the tzedukim. What did the tzedukim say? Shehayu omrim, the tzedukim used to say, b'ma'orave shemesh naisa nasis. So ultimately, I'm going to say, interestingly enough, the tzedukim used to say that halacha lemaisa a tevul yom cannot do Parah Aduma. I will say again, very very quick, we'll see Rashi in just a moment, very quickly outside. Somebody becomes Tameh, they go to the mikvah. So going to the mikvah is not enough. We actually saw this last night in the Rabbi Nachman Shir. Going to the mikvah is not enough. Normally you need what's called He'er of Shemesh. You need the sun to go down. So we'll say, so somebody who went to the mikvah but is missing nightfall is called a Tvul Yom. We paskin that halacha lemaisa Tvul Yom is kosher to go ahead and do Parah Aduma. The tzedukim, who did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, felt that a tvul yom is possible to do the Parah Aduma. In order to show, and that's because the tzedukim do not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They don't believe they only believe in the written law. They do not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So in order to show that the tzedukim were wrong, so they used to intentionally be metame the Kohen who was going to do the Parah, have him immerse in the mikvah. He was now a tvul yom, and as the tvul yom, he would do the service of the para. So as I take a look at Rashi for just a moment, tap Rashi on the daf. V'ha para di tamuye mitamin alei achar kiddush. So we'll say, therefore, the process would be is that the Kohen would do the Kiddush Adayim V'raglayim. He would sanctify his hands and his feet. They would make him Tamei. He would go to the mikvah, and then he would do the process of Parah Aduma. U'betvila zu b'ahara mishcha ha'isa v'hachi t'ram lam seches para v'achar t'vilaso miyatu misadar ma'arachta v'sarfa. So we'll say, why is this important for us? Alma, achar ha'kiddush ha'isa u'shma min olo pasla lo tuma. So we'll say, listen to this. Why is this important for us? What does this show for us? What this shows for us is halacha lemaisa, that even though the kohen is actively being defiled, nevertheless, he goes to the mikvah, does the process of paratuma immediately afterwards, and then what happens? There is no need for a secondary kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Which shows you what? Which shows you that halacha lemaisa, tuma does not generate the need for a secondary kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. That's the idea. That's the point the Gemara is trying to make over here. Shmamina lo paslo ba. The Bach takes out the machshev as tuma. So what do you see from here? You see from here that when someone does kiddush yadayim v'raglayim and then becomes tamei, that ultimately, again, if he's that tuma does not in any way erode or undermine that kiddush adayim v'raglayim, and therefore a subsequent kiddush adayim v'raglayim will not be necessary. Six lines down from the top. To which the Gemara says, "Shiny para, you can't bring a rai from paraduma, and I'll tell you why. Hoil the tvul yom lo possible." So we'll say paraduma is different because since by paraduma we'll say, you see again, even a tvul yom, as we just said before, is kasher for paraduma. Even a tvul yom, ultimately, again, is permitted to go ahead and engage in the process of paraduma. So if a tvul yom is mutter, then what? Then ultimately, again, he's not going to have to do a kiddush adayim v'raglayim. To which the Gemara says, ihachi, lamali. So ultimately, again, so if that's the case, then, or lamali d'mekadish, so if that's the case, then why does we require kiddush adayim v'raglayim at all? In other words, if at the end of the day, this is being done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and at the end of the day, even a tvul yom is kasher, some echetes that you even require a kiddush adayim v'raglayim, to which the Gemara says, ke'ein avoda ba'inan. Ultimately, again, we'll say, we saw this yesterday already, we tried to make para aduma to whatever the best of our ability, like an avodas pnim, like an avoda done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So even though para aduma is not a karbon, para aduma is not an avoda which takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, to whatever degree we can replicate the inside the avodas pnim, the inside the Beis HaMikdash avoda, we do that by para aduma as well. Therefore, again, just like avodas pnim requires kiddush adayim v'raglayim, so too, again, para aduma will require kiddush adayim v'raglayim as well. So we'll say, the Rambam says something very interesting. So the Rambam says, he says the halacha is, this is in Bias HaMikdash, Perakei Halacha Vav, Nitmu'u Yadav. So the Rambam brings down two cases. One case of Nitmu Yadav, where his hands become Tamei, and the second case of Nitmu Gufo. So Nitmu Yadav, Matbilin Vehein Tahor, Ve'inu Zarach L'Achzor L'Kaddish. So if a person's hands just became Tamei, now also remember again we saw yesterday, what's the case where your hands become Tamei, but your body doesn't become Tamei? That's in a Tumat D'Rabbanan. Let's say Tumas Oakland. So without going into the details, Tumas D'Rabbanan. You have rabbinic Tumas. Rabbinic Tumas just really vests itself on the hands, not the rest of the body. So the Rambam says it's okay. You take care of that by immersing your hands in a mikvah. If you do that, you don't need a secondary kiddush adayim v'raglayim. On the other hand, nitma gufo ba'achilas ochlin t'mein, oshtias mashkin t'mein, v'taval, afapi sheno tzarech erev shemesh chozer u'mekadesh achar tvila, shekol tovel mekadesh yada v'raglov v'achar kach oved. But I will say, if a person becomes really tamei, we'll call it really tamei, meaning their body becomes tamei, and therefore they have to go ahead and what? Go to the mikvah. If you go to the mikvah, that by definition requires another kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Shekol tovel, because anytime you have to go to the mikvah again, mekadesh yadav v'raglov v'achar kach oved. You have to do another kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, and then you can do the avod. V'im lo kiddush, hoil v'lo hisich daito lo chilo. And this is very interesting. So the way that Rambam paskins is as follows. If halacha lemaisa, you just have hand tumah, so hand tumah requires immersion of your hands in the mikvah, and you're good to go. No need for a secondary kiddush adayim v'raglayim. If you have full body tumah, you have to go to the mikvah, you need kiddush adayim v'raglayim. But amazing, and then you can do the avoda. But what happens if you didn't do kiddush adayim v'raglayim? So the Rambam paskins, the avoda is still kosher. Why is the avoda still kosher? It goes back to what we learned yesterday. Because the Kohen, didn't have a hesech hadas from the first kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So me'ikar adin, the Rambam says, the first kiddush yadayim v'raglayim works. It works. Because remember, how did we paskin? Kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, Rabbi will say, works for how long? What's the shelf life of a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim? Until the next morning. until the next morning, right? That's your shelf life. So therefore, again, me'ikar adin, if there's no hesach hadas, it still works. Although ideally, if one becomes tameh, goes to the mikvah, they should redo their kiddush on the raglan. Good. Ibaylo, ma'alek hadesh yaglov yadav v'raglov bikir. This is actually an interesting question. What is the halacha if is a kohen permitted to immerse his hands and his feet in the kiyur? In other words, the classic case of kiddush on raglan will say is what? You turn on the spigot, right, the faucet, then you go ahead and you wash your hands and your feet. We saw the process for that. What happens if, no, I don't want to wash, I want to take off the top and I want to put my feet and my hands in there? So it says, Hamish, right? So what happens? So am I allowed to go ahead? Does that affect the kiddush on raglan or not? So Ordu Sigmar says, on one hand, Mimeno Amrachman of Alobusoho. On one hand, the Torah says that you're supposed to wash from the kiyor, right? Virecha to Aaron Uvanov Mimenu Es Yedehem Esraelim. So Mimeno Rabosa means what? That the water is poured from the kiyor onto the hands and the feet. And therefore, again, immersing your hands and feet in the kiyor doesn't work. Old Dilma, Afilobusoho, or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe at the end of the day, you know, we know immersion works for everything else. Maybe it works over here as well. Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Tashma. So what's the memory? Again, we saw that if instead of kiddush adayim v'raglayim, the kohen goes ahead and immerses himself in water collected in a pit, mei ma'ara, in a pit, literally in a cave, in a pit, or a pit in a cave, va'avad avodas, and then he does his avoda, what's the halacha? Psula. The avoda is pasul. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Ha'me kiyar dumya d'mei ma'ara, va'avad avodasa k'sheira. Now we'll say what you can infer from that is that if you were to utilize the waters of the kiyur the same way that one were to utilize the waters of the pit, that it should work. We'll say, what does that mean? How do you utilize main ma'ara? You immerse yourself in it. So apparently the issue is that it's main ma'ara, as opposed to kiddush adayim v'raglayim, which requires water, which is collected in a kli sharis. So apparently it would appear the issue over here is not the immersion, but rather it's what the water is contained in. So we could infer from this that if one were to immerse one's hands and feet in the kiyur, that ultimately, again, it should be good. To which the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily. Mei ma'ara itzrichale shelo tomar kol gufo tovo bahen yadav v'raglav lo kol shekin. So says the Gemara something very interesting. The Gemara says, not necessarily. The case of Mei Ma'ara was necessary to teach me as follows. Shelo tomar kol gufo tovo bahen yadav raglav lo kol shekin. So you will say Mei Ma'ara could operate as a bona fide mikvah. So I would say as follows. If it operates as a bona fide mikvah to purify the body in its entirety, then what? Then it should go without saying that halacha lemaisa should work v'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. To which the Gemara says, so yet the answer, yet we know that statement is false. That interestingly enough, we, and this is a good havamina. I would have thought if something works for tvilas kol gufo, it certainly works for kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Kamashlan, no. Kamashlan, kiddush adayim v'raglayim is its own animal, and therefore, again, dafka requires a washing from the kiyur. We'll say, see, interestingly enough, how do we paskin in this? So again, the Rambam over here, same, all this is in the same chapter, in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, so the Rambam paskins in Yud Aleph, hit bil yoda v'raglav b'mei mikvah, if the kohen immersed his hands and his feet, b'mei mikvah ne'mikvah, afilu b'mayon, even in a natural spring, ein ze kiddush klal. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. It doesn't work. So Mamish, you could go ahead and Kohen could dip his hands and his feet in a kosher mikvah, in a bona fide mikvah. I want to point this out. In a bona fide mikvah, which is kosher enough to go ahead and purify a person even from the highest levels of tumah, right? Tumas meis. Because again, even a bona fide mikvah does not work for kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Ein ze kiddush klal ad sheyirchatz bikli. We'll say ultimately, again, it's not called rechitzes adayim v'raglayim until a utensil is used. Ubachol kli hektish mekachin ben sheyesh bo raviyas ben sheyesh. I will say now, what I will tell you something very interesting comes from this Rambam, which is what you see from here is as follows. So ultimately, again, kiddush adayim v'raglayim only could occur with a kli, and it has to be what we call what he calls a kli hekdish, right? Ultimately, a kli of the base of mikdash. So I want to point out something very interesting to you, which is, does the kohen have to use the kiyur? No. That's the interesting part. It doesn't have to be the kiyur. It just has to be one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So if there were other washing cups of the Beis HaMikdash, that's fine. That's fine. What Kiyur Shalom Rambam requires is two things. Number one, a kli. Number two, it has to be a kli hekdish. Now again, obviously the kiyur makes the most sense. But lamaisa, if the kiyur, whatever, the kiyur wasn't there, or there was a long line at the kiyur. Remember again, let's say it's before Ben Katan, who went ahead and made 12 spigots. So there was only four in the beginning. There's a huge queue of Kohanim. You don't want to wait online. You would take a different kli sharis, wash your hands and your feet. The Rambam paskins, it works. I'm sorry? Metal. Oh, so mimenu, he understands, means that ultimately, again, it has to be from the kli. He says, lav dafka, meaning even if you look, virachatu Aaron uvanav mimenu means from one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. It's how the Rambam is paskining. Lav dafka, obviously the kiyur is the natural choice, but it doesn't have to be the kiyur. Very interesting.
The kiyur is considered a kli, even though it's coming out of
the faucet. Correct. Correct. The kiyur is the faucet itself is considered to be a kli, which, by the way, just interestingly enough, has practical ramifications for washing for hamotzi as well. But again, we'll save that. But yes, it's called a kli. There are all these discussions about, also there's really two different things happening over here, which is kli and koach gavra, about how the water has to pour. Okay, ma'am. Next cycle, Amir has to focus on that. I'm Reb Chiya bar Yosef. Make kiran nifsan lamatirin kimatirin leivarn kevarn. So we'll say Reb Chiya bar Yosef advances what is a very fascinating statement. So we'll say, remember again, the way this discussion kind of got started is trying to figure out when a kohen does kiddush adayim v'raglayim, how long, what's the shelf life of that kiddush adayim v'raglayim, how long does that last him for? How long does it last him for? So Reb Chiya bar Yosef says as follows. That mekiyor nifsalin lematirin kimatirin leivarim keivarim. That if the kohen goes in and sanctifies his hands and feet for the purpose of doing, I will say, one of the major avodos which permits the carbon, which generally refers to the blood avodos, right? Shchita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. So I will say, so essentially, however long you can go ahead and do one of those avodos, that's the amount of time that your kiddush adayim v'raglayim will last you for. On the flip side, if you washed up, right? If you did your kishna raglayim for the purpose of what? Burning fats and limbs can be burned when rabosai, even through the night. So therefore, in that case, your kiddush adayim raglayim would last you through the night. Well, so take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's in the wide lines of Rashi, third line in. Leivarim keivarim, lekadish mehen la'avodos hekter chalavim, nifsalin ba'amud ha'shachar, kimo she'ivarim nifsalin belinas amud ha'shachar, kidichsiv ad boker, aval kol ha'layla k'shein lekadish mehen la'avodos layla, v'im shiku, I'm sorry, I'm reading Avarim Leivarim. Okay, Vim Shiku called him Amun HaShachar Ma'at K'sher Meimav L'Kiddush Avodos Hayom. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. So Reb Chiya bar Yosef essentially says, is that your Kiddush, this is really fascinating, your Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim will last you for as long as what? As long as the duration of the Avoda that you are scrubbing in for, right? So meaning, whatever it is that you're about to be doing, that will determine how long your kiddush adayim v'raglayim will work. So essentially, if you're doing a daytime avoda, then by definition, your kiddush adayim v'raglayim will last you through the end of the day, till nightfall. If you're doing a nighttime avoda, ultimately, again, your kiddush adayim v'raglayim will last you until dawn. Rav Chista Amar, aflamatirin, Rav Chista says no. Rav Chista says that at the end of the day, when you go ahead and you do your kiddush adayim v'raglayim, we'll say that lasts you for the duration of the, we'll call it, the last possible avoda. What is the last possible avoda on any given day? So the burning of the fats and limbs, which could be done until when? Done until dawn, right? Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, Rav Chista seems to be saying that when you do kiddush adayim v'raglayim, that really lasts you until the next morning. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Af lematirin keivarim, kishim shein haivarim nifsalan ela ba'amud ha'shachar, af kol linos eno psulas b'shum kiddusha ela ba'amud ha'shachar. Fine. So Rav Chista says, once you do kiddush adayim v'raglayim, it will last you until the next morning. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kiyar, Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, kiyar, Kevan Sheshaku Shuv Ein Ma'alehu. So we'll say, Rabbi Yochanan makes an interesting statement. He says, the kiyur, Once they immersed it, they do not bring it out. Suppose, I remember again, in terms of the immersion of the kior, we touched on this yesterday, that there was like a wheel and a pulley system attached to the kior, which did what? Which lowered the kior into a body of water. Now what that did was, if you remember, if the water remains in the kior overnight, or through the next morning, it becomes pasul belina, anything that sits in the base of Mikdash overnight, becomes pasul. We'll say lina means literally it's remained there. So in order to avoid that, and in order to avoid having to drain the kior every single day, they came up with this pulley system, lifted the kior, put it into this be'er, put it into this well, essentially, and allowed the kior to become part of that natural water. Next morning, they took it out, put it back. So Rabbi Yochanan says, once they go ahead and they immerse the kior, we don't take it out. We'll look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kevan Sheshaku Bebar Kederach Mitzvaso Samoch Lishkiyas Achama. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying that when would they go ahead and lift up the kior and immerse it back into the bar? Before Shkiyas Achama, right before sunset, Shuv Ein Ma'alehu Kol HaLayla. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan sounds like he's saying that we essentially put the bar, we put the kior back into the bar sometime right before nightfall, and we do not take it out until when? Till when? Till the next morning. He says, "V'kasaka da'itcha da'afilu la'avodas halayla kam Rabbi Yochanan demifsel b'ha'ala sabatarayu pali." Now we'll say, now the interesting part about this is as follows. In Rabbi Yochanan's mind, we'll say, what does that sound like? That if I'm a Kohen and I'm coming to the Beis HaMikdash at night for the purpose of burning the leftover fats and limbs, then what? Then what? There's no kior to do kior shadayim v'raglayim. Now we'll say, now interestingly enough, we kind of drained a little bit of the drama from Rabbi Yochanan, because the last we just saw the Rambam, and the Rambam paskins that what? The truth is, you don't need a kior. You don't need a kior, you just need a klisharis. Okay, but leaving that aside, it is interesting to see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, apparently the kior is put away right before nightfall, not taken out until the next morning, which means that if you're a Kohen doing avod that night, there is no kior available to you. Lememra, is that to say, Dela avodas laila nami lochazi? So Rabbi Yochanan, are you telling me then that halacha lemaisa, again, for let's say avodas laila, which Rashi says is the hektar halavim, the burning of the fats, that I can't use the kior? The kior is not accessible to a Kohen who's coming to work at night to do the avoda? To which the Gemara says, V'am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishmei di'ilfa, kior shelo shaku mi ba'erev, mekadish mimenu la'avodas laila, la'avodas laila. The Rabbi Yossi Ilfa said as follows, that what? That if they did not immerse the mikvah, I'm sorry, they did not immerse the kior, right, in the evening, shlo shakul mi ba'erev, so mekadesh mimenu la'avodas laila. So remember, so Ilfa says, if they did not put the kior away before sunset, the Kohen could go ahead and sanctify his hands and his feet for avodas laila, ulemachar eno mekadesh. And tomorrow, right now, the next day, so we'll say, here's the interesting part about how to interpret that phrase. Literally means, and the next day, he cannot sanctify. So what does that mean? So Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, ulemachar eno mekadesh, kazaga daitcha, da'asra lekadesh shimenu kamar, shenifsal b'shkiyas chama la'avodas yom, alma kula krebichia svirle. So we'll say, what's interesting about this is as follows. The way we're interpreting that statement is like this, that Ilfa seems to be saying that although ideally we put away the kior right before nightfall, but if they didn't, the Kohen could go ahead and what do kiddush adayim v'raglayim for the avoda of the nighttime, for the hektar chalavim, but if he did that, those waters cannot be used the next day. Why not? Because halacha lemaisa, they were nifsal belina. If that water, if the kior is out at night, by definition, that passels the waters of the kior for use for the next day. Which I will say sounds like who? Sounds like Rabbi Chiya. That halacha lemaisa, they'll be pasul b'alayla. So the Gemara says, "My eino ma'aleu nami dekamar la'avodas yom." So too again, when Rabbi Yochanan said that halacha lemaisa ain shuv kaven sheshaku shuv ain ma'aleu, that once you immerse the kior in the bar, that you don't bring it out, what he means is as follows, la'avodas yom. That means if you brought it out at night for the Kohen to be mekadesh his hands and feet, then what? You cannot use those waters the next day. Aval la'avodas laila chazi. But at the end of the day, to use it to sanctify for that night, ultimately, again, it will be permissible. Ihachi haynu d'Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. If that's the case, then really, then really Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing as Rabbi Chiya, to which the Gemara says, Amad Beis, Ika Beinayu, we'll say, what is the nafkamina between the two opinions? Gzeras Shikua. So we'll say, the nafkamina will be Gzer Shikua. What's the Gzer Shikua? Take a look. Ratap Rashi, Amad Beis, Ika Beinayu, Gzer Shikua, Kilomar, Had the Okim in Ma'alud Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Psul Avodas Yom, Lo. So we'll say, here's what's interesting, is as follows, which is the point of machlokus, the point of contention between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan Avosai is, are we concerned that if you go ahead and we allow you to use the kiyar at night, then what? Then Lamaisa again, we're concerned, Dad, bless you, that you will forget to immerse it back that night, continue to use it through the day, which of course is problematic. So that is the point of contention, ultimately, again, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya. So again, just read that first line of Rashi, Kilomar, Hada Okim Eimaleu, Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan says that once we immerse it, we do not go out and take it back out, Mishum Psul Avodas Yom, Lo kasak dait chushei laila post lavodas yom. So we'll say ultimately again. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that lemaisa again, we're concerned that if we allow you to take it out, what's going to end up happening? You're going to forget to reimmerse it and end up using it by day. That's what Rabbi Chiya's concern. Rabbi Chista does not share that concern. I have hamar Rabbi Yochanan kidesh yadav v'rad kidesh yadav l'trumas adashan. Lemachar im zarech lekadish shekvar kiddush mitchilas avoda. Rabbi, remember again, we saw yesterday that the interesting idea over here. That let's say the kohen comes and the first avoda is trumas hadeshen, which is the removal of ash from on top of the mizbeach. So we'll say, so what happens? The kohen comes to work, and this is before dawn. So what happens? He goes ahead and he's mekadish his hands and his feet. So the halacha is, he need not do another kiddush adayim v'raglayim after the sun rises. Ein tzarach lekadesh shekvar kiddush mitchilas avoda. Because ultimately, again, even though trumas hadeshen is occurring when? Before daybreak, since it's the beginning of the avoda, ultimately, again, we allow that kiddush adayim v'raglayim to last the rest of the day. So bishlam alurava dimokim lahi kerebi elazar berebi shimin. So it's according to Rava, ultimately, again, who establishes that halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Haki Rebbe. Then Rabbi say this halacha stated reflects the view of Rebbe. Rabbi say going to back to our machlokes yesterday, Ela la Abaye, demokim lo ki Rebbe kasha. But ultimately, again, or I should say kasha de Rebbe ad Rebbe. But according to Abaye, Rabbi say who establishes the previous halacha like Rebbe, so ultimately, again, and establishes this halacha like Rebbe as well, we seem to have a contradiction, ultimately, again, of one statement of Rebbe against another statement of Rebbe, to which the Gemara says, Maishna chasam de mashkia de mishakale, u maishna hacha de lo mishakale. So ultimately, says the Gemara, why is it? What's different over here? What is different over there? The mashak Rebosei means that we submerge the kiyur. Versus over here, Rebosei, over here, they happen to be referencing back to the case of Para Aduma. And what's different over here? That ultimately, again, by the Para Aduma, that we do not go ahead and immerse it. To which the Gemara says, Dolo Meshakele, the Mesalik, Vahadr Meshakele. So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, the case over here is where we go ahead and what? We lift it out. In other words, they go, even if the kiyur has been immersed, we go ahead and we draw it back out. The Bosei, the Mesalik means we pull it back out of the bar, use it, and then afterwards submerse it again. Ihachi lemachar eina makadish amai. Amai itzarach makadish. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, then why did the Braisa say before that tomorrow there is no need, or the next day there is, I should say, lemachar, the following day eina makadish amai. Why is that? Eintzarach makadish lememra de lematirin. Ultimately, again, says the Gemara, what do you see from here? That for those who are the matirin, the water is still permitted to be used for kiddush dayim v'raglayim even the next day. To which the Gemara says, "Hanud Rav Chista." If that's the case, then that is the same exact position as we stated before, the statement of Rav Chista. We'll say, "What's the nafkamina?" Ike benayu mitzvas shikua. We'll say, what's the nafkamina between the opinions is what we call the mitzvas shikua. We'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, so this is in the wide lines. It's like halfway into the wide lines, right across from Tosos, where that Tosos says Hago. Iki b'nai mitzvah shikua. Rabbi says, here we go. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvah shikua mi ba'erev. We'll say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, remember again, Rabbi Yochanan was the opinion who said, Kiyor kevan sheshako shuv ein ma'aleu. Once they immerse the kiyor, they do not lift it back up, which also we've seen is not to be understood literally as we saw it before. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvas shikua mi ba'erev, there is a mitzvah to go ahead and submerge the kiyor at nightfall, why? Because it will say, under normal circumstances, see, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I will say, the normal seder in the Beis HaMikdash is as follows. What happens? So we bring up the kiyor normally when? Right before Trumas Hadashan. That's the goal. Right before Trumas Hadashan, we draw out the kiyor, and we keep it up until when? Until nightfall. But the goal is that right before nightfall, we submerse it, and the next time we bring it up is by Trumas Hadashan. Kideshim tzenu meshuka, bekidosh Trumas Hadashan, ve'niskar lachzor u'leshak'o, v'haynu dika amar kevan sheshak'o, amami ba'erev u'meshak'ilo. So we'll say, so therefore again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the goal over here is right before nightfall, we want to submerse. So we'll say, what about the Kohanim who are going to do Hector, Chalavim, Ve'ivarim? What about the Kohanim who are going to burn the leftover fats and limbs that night? What do they do according to Rabbi Yochanan? We'll say, what do they do? There's a simple answer. Show up before Shkia. So I mean, or use something else. I mean, but I did, if you want to use the Kiyor, which is fine. In other words, the putting away of the Kiyor before Shkia, Rabosai, in no way undermines the Avodah Balayla. What it just does is that it says either you have to show up before the kiyor is put away, or you'll accomplish kiddush adayim v'raglayim in some other way. Ulurav chista lo hechmiru kvo kol kach ve'in mitzvas shikuo ela samoch lizman pisulo kodem omad ashachar. We'll say this is very interesting. See, here's what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that what happens if you just leave the kiyor out overnight until the next morning? What happens? The water's pasul. Everyone is going to, it's pasul, Belina, you can't use the water. Which again, we'll say, let's be clear. This is, so okay, you drain it and you have to refill it. It's a to-do. So the shaila is, therefore, what is normative kiyor protocol? And we'll say, herein lies the machlokes, ultimately, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chista. Rabbi Yochanan therefore says, L'chatchila, we go ahead and we submerge the kiyor in the bar before Shkia. And when do you take it out? It stays there. When do you take it out next? You don't take it out until right before Trumas Hadashan. That's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rav Chista says no. Rav Chista says, leave the kiyor out. People need to use the kiyor for Rav Chista. Remember again, we saw before, when do you have to use the kiyor? You have to use the kiyor when you first come to do the avoda. You also have to use the kiyor when, ultimately, again, if a person urinates, right? So again, you see, like, you have, like, meaning, so all of these different things, you have to use the kiyor. So leave it out. And, but Rose said, but here's the thing. What do you mean leave it out? But it's going to become possible, you know? So you just have to make sure what? You have to make sure that you submerge it just sometime right before Trumas Hadashan. So this could be an in and out, meaning all you need to do, you don't have to leave the kiyor submerged, but sometime before the next day Avoda starts, which I also remember is, again, before dawn of the next day, you must submerge that kiyor. Pretty amazing. So which the Gemara says, so Meisve, the Gemara is the Kasha. So I will say, that's enough community between them. Meisve, lo hayurun, so supposed to listen to this. The Gemara now describes a little bit of the beginning of the Avoda. So remember again, first Avoda of the day is Trumas Hadashan, collection of the ash. So the Braisa says, lo hayurun also, velo shomen eskolo. Let's listen to this. When the Kohen would get up to do the Trumas Hadashan, no one saw him and no one heard him. Now Rashi points out, no one saw him, Rabosei, because why? Rashi says, lo hayurun also, b'misha zelcha b'chumas Hadashan, kamayri b'mesechas tamid, kishayim nichnas la'azar l'kadish yadav raglov, lo hayu machnis b'yada lo ner v'lo avuka, el mahalich lo'or ha-ma'aracha. So let's listen to this. He brought in no source of illumination with him. The Kohen didn't carry a candle, he didn't carry a torch, so what lit his way, what guided his way? Ultimately, again, the fire on the Mizbeach, the Eish Tamid. The Eish Tamid is what guided his way. So when the Kohen would come to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, no one saw him, no one heard him. Why did no one hear him, Rabosai? Why did no one hear him? They were sleeping, right? They were sleeping. So ultimately, again, so what happens? Melo Shomen Eskolo, Ad Sheshomen Kol Shel Eitz, Shenaase Ben Katan Muchni Lekior. We'll say, so when would they hear? They would hear the wooden wheel that was used to go ahead and lift up or move the kiyor. So the alarm clock for the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash Rabosai was the the pulley system of the kiyor. When they heard the pulley system of the kiyor, they knew it was time to get up. Vehim omrim, higia is kiddush adayim v'raglayim min hakiyor. So they'll say, what happens? And the Kohanim would say, oh, it's time to be mekadesh, it's time to sanctify our hands and feet at the kiyor. Rashi says over here, Vehim omrim higia, Rashi says, l'kiyor mezerzen es atzman lios nechonim lalos efer letapuach l'achashiyard min ha-mizbeach. So we'll say, so remember again, at this point in time, they'd all jump out of bed, as we all do every single morning. Kum la'avodes ha-borei, Baruch Hashem. In that sense, we're all Kohanim. And what happens, they would go and they would run to sanctify their hands and feet to participate in the avoda of the day. So we'll say, so now, here's what's intriguing about this. My love, the mesalikle, alma mishakile. So we'll say, so it seems to be, what's the first thing that the Kohen is doing in the morning? He is removing the kiyor from the bar, which therefore tells us what? Tells us what? That it was submerged in the bar beforehand. Which I will say sounds like what? Look at Rashi. My love, Hashmi Askol. First of the widest lines in Rashi. My love, Hashmi Askol, La Itz Tiktani, the Sarkle, the Kiyor, Minabar, Almo, Mishuka Haya. That's after I will say, so this sounds like what? This sounds to be like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the kiyor was submerged at nightfall and remained that way until right before Trumas Hadeshen. So it sounds like over here the Kohen is coming to the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing he's doing is he's removing the kiyor from the bar. This seems to support Rabbi Yochanan as the Kashran of Chista. To which the Gemara says, lo, dimishakile. No, what's the case? The case of Osei is the Kohen is showing up. Remember that presumably the Kohen is showing up early. This is before the Zman for Trumas Hadeshen. And Osei, what is he doing? What is he doing? He is submerging the Kiyor. The Kiyor was out. What he's doing is the first order of business is submerge the Kiyor and then take the Kiyor back out so it can be used for the day. To which the Gemara says, Idim Mishakile, Mi Mishtamekale. I don't understand. If he's submerging it, then ultimately again, why would there be any noise? Rashi says we're a second wide line about saying Mishtama Kale, Halo Aim Muchni Sarak Lushoko, Ella Lahaloso, Aba Shikua Mashasha the Barbu Nofa Ma'ilov. So we'll say again, when lowering the kiyor into the bar, we'll say you could just rely on what? Gravity. Right? So there's no noise. There's no real mechanism needed to lower the kiyor. The noise is in the pulley system of pulling the kiyor out. The Gemara is saying that the other Kohanim were waking up from the noise of the kiyor, which also doesn't sound like the lowering of the kiyor, but rather the hoisting out of the kiyor, to which the Gemara says, Meshakele b'gilgala. So in reality, again, you're right, even though he didn't need to use the pulley system to go ahead and what? To lower the kiyor, but nevertheless, he still used it. Why did he use it, Rabbi Osei? So Rabbi Osei, oh, sounds like over here, Rashi says, "Mishani mishakile b'gilgala, ki hechi d'lishtama kale." Because Rabbi Osei, remember again, he was trying to accomplish two things. Number one, he was like the vetter. You know, he was waking up the Kohanim. So Rabbi Osei, so again, there were two things he was accomplishing. Number one, he was immersing the kiyor, and number two, he was waking up the Kohanim. So therefore, again, he dafka used the wheel, the pulley system, to lower the kiyor in, even though he didn't need to. He could have just used gravity. But halacha lemaisa, again, in order to wake up the Kohanim, he used it. Lishnach, you know, another version of this. Dimishakile b'chomarte, ki hechi dilishtama kale. So as I said, the other version of this is, same idea. He would go ahead and he would use the chomarte. Rashi says over here, my chomarte is galgalo, the wheel. He would use the pulley system, ultimately again, to go ahead and lower the kiyor into the bar, in order that it should make noise, that the Kohanim should wake up. The Gemara says, v'lishma v'leisei, so the Kohanim should hear and should come to work. I v'ahod hava gvini, cruz, but we'll say ultimately again, there was gvini. There was a gvini was like the crier. Right? Gavini was the guy who essentially told the Kohanim, it is time to get up. Rashi says, Gavini Karos, Shayamachris, Amdu Kohanim Lavodoschem, Ulevim Leduchanim Yisrael Mamadim. So we'll say, this man, Gavini was his name. His job was to cry out, get up! Get up, Kohanim, come to do the Avoda, Leviim, come to do the Shira, Yisrael Ma'amadchem. So this was his job. So essentially, what is the Gemara asking? Why does the Kohen have to go ahead and what? Use the pulley system, the noise of the pulley system to go to wake up the Yisrael, to wake up the Kohanim. You have Gavini. I will say something very interesting, and actually point out, so which is that Gavini was the name of a guy. That was his name. His name was Gavini. So apparently what ended up happening was, because I guess he was the first person to occupy this position, the position becomes known by his name. So whoever had that position of being the crier, right? The crier. See, he was called Gavini. So the Gemara says, there's a Gavini. There's always a Gavini running around. There's always a Gavini. Ultimately, he was like, so I need the police system to wake everybody up? To which Moses says, it's amazing. So the Gemara says, Bei Trehe Kari Abdi, Havi Abdi. We'll say, some people need two alarm clocks. Two alarm clocks, V'shama Mehayasi, V'shama Hayasi. So we'll say, a Mefurish Araya to a backup alarm, right? So what happens? Some people wake up because of Gvini, some people wake up ultimately again because of the police system. People wake up for different purposes, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they had both. So therefore, we'll say, we end up over here, so it ends up really in the midst of an incredible machlokes, just about how the kir itself, or how the Beis HaMikdash was structured. Fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, everyone agrees that the kir has to be submerged at some point during the night, in order for the waters to be usable the next day. But what was the actual process? Rabbi Yochanan therefore says, lemaisa, they would submerge it before nightfall, and that's the way it remained. That's the way it remained. Rav Chista would say they would go before Shkia and remain that way until right before Trumas Hadeshin the next day. Rav Chista says, no, they just immersed it right before the Trumas Hadeshin and lifted it back out. So Machlokes has to how it was done. We'll say this Machlokes just plays a role in terms of what the Kohen was doing initially in the morning. Was the Kohen it was submersing the kiyor, or was he lifting out the kiyor? That's the machlokes ultimately between Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yochanan. But again, the good news is, either way, whether he was lifting or whether he was immersing, he made sure to what? Make as much noise as possible, because the goal ultimately, again, was first of all as part of the functional avoda, but ultimately also to allow the Kohanim to get up in the morning. So I'll share with you, we'll stop over here for the Gemara, but I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.